My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast, rolling with Seth Payne here on the day after the 4th of July. Hope y'all had a happy 4th. And before the holiday, Seth, I heard you and Sean talking about establishing a Google Doc with his Texans training camp hot takes. So, basically, but when he comes back from vacation, y'all are going to either have this thing established or build this Google Doc that's going to have his Texans hot takes for training camp. And I thought, knowing that I was going to do a show with you in the next couple of days, I'm like, hey, man, don't threaten me with a good time, because I will form this Google Doc my damn self with my own Texans takes.
The key is, and then just be sure you never mention the ones that are wrong again. But we'll bring up the one. So the 3 months from now, the ones of yours that are correct, you can just say, yeah, I told all of you. Listen, folks, I told everybody back on July 5th that this is the way it was going to go.
Well, and
that's doing radio right.
Look, this might not be doing radio right. This might not be the most sound strategy, but it works for me, Seth. I do this as if no one is listening.
Yeah.
Like, other than the fact that I'm adjusting a microphone to my face right now, and obviously people are listening, I feel like it's just me and you talking. So like this, yeah. this, unless you say something, this, you know, after today, this never happened.
Right. This conversation. Yeah, this is you sitting in the barbershop and just very, very confidently saying exactly how it's all going to play out.
Man, I don't even know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like what Texans training camp takes?
I never said that. You're lying.
Oh, yeah. But it's actually the ones that I've got sitting here right now. So I want to run these by you, Seth. And you being the former player and also just being another, like, aside from the former player part, but just another sensible person to throw this off of, I want to hear what you think. Just two people with good common sense that know football.
Eminently sensible. That's what I am. That's basically what I'm known for.
That's how you've always been described whenever I ask about you. Hey, Seth Payne, sensible guy.
He's eminently sensible.
Eminently sensible. You should put that, like, on your bio or something, like a in your email tag or something like that. All right, so for me, one of the biggest competition is going to be the cornerback opposite of Derek Stingley. My Texans training camp take number one is that Kamari Lassiter wins the starting outside cornerback role opposite Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
But not just that. I think all of these guys end up contributing in some kind of way, and maybe that's a beyond camp take. So the camp take is really that Kamari Lassiter is going to win the job, but the larger bird's eye view take is that the trio of Lassiter, Jeff Okudah, C.J. Henderson, the depth that you needed in your secondary last year, we've seen it before. Obviously, you understand how this works. Like, I think that you're going to need – I think Kamari Lassiter is going to win the job, but you're going to need the experience and the depth that Okudah and C.J. Henderson can provide you.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And this is probably your most kind of hedging or splitting down the middle take amongst all of your hot takes. I do think that the Texans are always going to play a lot of zone. And I won't get too X's and O's here, but they're always going to play a lot of zone. That's the way this defense is going to be constructed. And that D'Amico, when he talks about the defensive line being the engine of the defense, it's because that when you do that, when you can get a really good pass rush with just four guys, it allows you to play a lot of zone behind those guys. You don't have to blitz to get pressure on the quarterback. And that those guys in the secondary are able to sit and pounce on routes and see things develop. And I think that's how they're going to be. And I think that's specifically why they drafted Kamari Lassiter, is because he's that kind of a guy. I think that, you know, I think some people went too far in reading into Kamari Lassiter's 40 time into thinking that somehow he's not fast or anything. And that's true. Like, he's way faster than his 40 time. But it's also true that he's not, like, an elite mover athletically the way Derek Stingley is. And I think that what really appeals to them is Kamari Lassiter's combination of athleticism, but also his flat-out football IQ and ball skills and everything else like that. Like, he's got a really good feel for picking up routes, for understanding when the ball is coming, like all those things that you want in a defense like this. He's just got to prove it throughout training camp that they can trust him to be that consistently. And I think that right now the pointers are that yes, that's what he'll be good at. I think there might be other times though in various game plans where they need the man coverage skills of a guy like Okudah. You know, there's going to be other times where Dez King's skill set comes into play. And all those guys will play, but it's going to be a very game plan by game plan thing. So, like, Kamari Lassiter will be the starter, but they'll probably lean heavily on some of the other supporting pieces based on game plan.
Yeah, I cannot tell you how much I am intrigued by how that plays out. Like, my prediction is, obviously, Kamari Lassiter wins that job. But just what the production looks like, the things that you're talking about how they like to play zone, and what game plans are going to call for different assignments, for different skill sets, for different guys. I cannot wait to see how that plays out opposite Derek Stingley, assuming that guy is going to be healthy on the other side. But that's its own point and its own discussion. But I am operating maybe unfairly, and maybe I'm hope trafficking a little bit here, but I am operating under the assumption that he is going to be that guy on one side or be dealing with hopefully your main guy, you know, the main receiver on the other side. But who is Kamari Lassiter? What situations are you going to see these other guys? What the production is going to look like there? I cannot wait to see it.
Well, I think that, and the thing that the people are going to like about Kamari Lassiter is that he's not bashful at all about coming up and hitting people. And that's something that, Dez King is a big, he's a conundrum in trying to figure out as a player and as a pro, not just with the Texans, but throughout his entire career. But that he does not shy away from contact one bit. He was cut during training camp last year. They bring him back, and in the first game back, the first play he came back, he had that huge stick down in the red zone. Or no, it was with the offense coming out.
Well, you remember he had the fumble, forced fumble that he didn't get. What was that? Do you remember the? He forced a. He had.
Oh, that was in the Cleveland game, the helicopter one, where he did like a helicopter on the back of the wide receiver.
That's the same game, but I don't know if that's the same play.
Okay,
but either way, he came back hitting fools.
Well, I think that's D'Amico. That's what D'Amico wants out of guys. Like, he just wants guys that are out there and they're willing to hit. And that, like, instead of a soft spot in the zone defense, he calls it a kill zone. Or at least he did it one time. I think maybe they might have pulled away from that because of PR and Goodell and everything else like that. But like, he wants guys that, yeah, there's going to be weaknesses in any given defense, but we want to turn that into something that people pay a toll for. If you try to exploit one of our soft zones, somebody's going to get their kidneys bruised. And it's just good, old school, clean hitting, bruising people's kidneys football. But Lassiter fits into that mold. And that's why people are going to like him, I think.
All right, Seth, let me get into some of these hotter takes. Jawar Jordan, the rookie running back out of Louisville.
Yeah.
Emerges as a real RB2 option. Jawar Jordan, And this is a little bit projection, and this is why I'm throwing this at you. Maybe you can check me if I'm wrong here. I feel like he's got a chance to be more of a scheme fit. I wonder if he is more of a scheme fit for them. I'm real intrigued by Damian Pierce in year two of the system. We've heard him talk about needing to improve in certain areas, and there were just certain things that were going to take a full offseason for him to adjust to in order to be the kind of player that he needs to be in this system. But I suspect in my training camp Texans training camp take right now is that Jawar Jordan emerges as a running back two option for the Texans.
I think there's a really good chance that the Texans this year start looking a lot more like those early Rams offenses, those early Sean McVay Los Angeles Rams offenses, where they would run the ball a ton, but they were doing it out of three wide receiver sets. So when you got a lot of speed on the field and you're facing nickel and dime defenses, do you have a guy that's got a shifty speed to him that can exploit some of those gaps and with the zone run? And I think Jawar Jordan might really be that guy. And he's a classic guy that, like, he's super, super quick and fast, but not necessarily like in a 40-yard dash type of manner, and he doesn't have like necessarily a long breakaway speed, but he's got one speed that's not as fast as some of the fastest guys, but he gets up to it and is decisive, and as a smaller guy might be more suited to when they're on the field without a lot of big bodies out there. And that Damian Pierce is still the guy that they figured out a few things with at times last year, that okay, versus heavier defenses, He can still do things that he did his rookie year. So, not that you want to have a three running back rotation. A lot of this depends on what Jawar Jordan can do on special teams and everything else like that. But I think it's just as likely that he ends up being the second leading rusher as Damian Pierce at this point.
All right, so I got a prediction here.
So far, I would say that's a realistic hot take by you.
You think that's a realistic?
You're basically saying Jawar Jordan's going to be your second leading rusher.
Yeah, and basically that by the end of training camp or somewhere within training camp, that's the conversation we're having. Maybe it plays out differently in the season for different reasons, injury, whatever. But just in training camp, we're looking at Jawar Jordan and saying, hey, you know what, after Joe Mixon, that's the guy. Like that, yeah. That's my prediction. That as we're having our conversations on the sideline, you know, baking in that heated training camp, or trying to find our spot under that shaded, air conditioned shaded spot, we're like, oh man, did you see the rookie? You know, that kind of thing.
It's good to get. I like getting excited about running backs when nobody's actually tackling. That's the golden era of every football season when you're in training camp. You're like, wow, look at that guy. He's like Gale Sayers. He is. Yep. He's nothing's gonna stop him. Well, nobody's literally trying to stop him.
Would it be Would it be training camp coverage though, Seth? If we didn't do that, if we didn't draw nonsensible conclusions.
It
like
is.
That.
With running backs, you always know. Like you know that you don't know. It's man. Especially with running back, because they're such freakish little dudes. You know, they're so strong and powerful, explosive as a class that you get excited about guys, because when they're not faced with actually getting tackled, there's a lot of them that look really impressive in training camp.
All right, so that's a perfect segue into another one of my training camp takes here. And this is based off of OTAs, mini camp, just being out there a couple of days and checking them out. I think that once the people come out there, and this is a little bit more of a ways away than the 2 weeks. What is that? I think the 23rd is when folks can actually start going out there. But when fans go to the Texans training camp practices, I believe that the ones who have never seen, I think this is probably going to be most of them, because unless they spent time in Cincinnati or traveling around the country watching different NFL games. But I think that most of them, when they lay eyes on Joe Mixon, they are going to be very surprised at how big Joe Mixon is.
Because
of what you were just saying about, you know, running backs, they don't tend to be like the, you know, they're kind of shorter. Normally shorter guys don't tend to be the biggest of guys. Joe Mixon is every bit of 6 feet tall, or maybe 6'1". Like, he looks like a dude out there. Joe Mixon, more so than I realized before watching him at OTAs and minicamp last month, is a get-off-the-bus guy. Like, I want Joe Mixon getting off the bus with Laremy Tunsil and with Will Anderson and all the other badasses.
I think that's one. Joe Mixon, I agree, because I had that same impression of Joe Mixon the first time I saw him in person. I think it's because he's so muscular that he doesn't look on TV like he's 6'1".
Yeah, he's tall. You know, muscular.
Yeah, he's not Derrick Henry, but he's tall by running back standards. And because he's so thick, though, he looks more like one of those more compact 5'11" guys. And that's where I think the veteran leadership side of it for him and the influence he can have on Damian Pierce, perhaps, I think will be really good. And I think Devin Singletary was probably very helpful with Damian Pierce, but it was Damian Pierce's first year in the scheme, and there was a lot that it was going to take some time for him to get into really the – it's a rhythm. When you're running in a zone running scheme, there's a certain rhythm to it of, making your read, planting your foot in the ground, and getting upfield. And you just got to – like, Arian Foster was just superb on the feel and the rhythm he had for that offense. But I think the fact that Joe Mixon is more of a big bruising type of dude than people might realize – I think that Damian Pierce maybe can take some from how Mixon is able to run well in that scheme. That it's as much about your decisiveness as anything else. And kind of at times, even though it feels really complex to Damian Pierce in some of the things he's being asked to do, it's about simplifying it in your mind as much as possible and just making your decision and going. And Joe Mixon is really good at that part of it.
I got Will Anderson Jr., coming back in year two, so a second training camp with more refined pass rush moves. I know you and Sean have talked about this in the previous days about what Will Anderson is working on. I think he might have been on with Rich Eisen maybe last week or some time ago, and y'all were breaking that down. But I guess this is an offshoot of that, and it's something that I've been talking about with Will Anderson basically ever since the season ended. And we chatted about this a little bit in Vegas at the award ceremony before he accepted the NFL Rookie Defensive Player of the Year award. Talked about this on the red carpet for a little bit. But wanting to become a more refined pass rusher, he's already got the motor that you want. He's already, you know, stronger than he looks, I think. But beyond that, the hand fighting, the nuances of pass rush that Seth, you're much more qualified to discuss than I am, I think Will Anderson gives us glimpses of that at training camp.
Yeah, and I went back through and just kind of in breaking down a lot of the best edge rushers from the last few years. I had said something to Sean last week that I had never actually fact-checked myself on, but it was that most of the premier edge rushers aren't extremely prolific in their first year. They don't put up double-digit sacks, typically. And I was kind of alarmed at, like, actually how accurate I was with that. When you look at Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Nick Bosa, Danielle Hunter, Trey Hendrickson, Hassan Reddick, Khalil Mack, and Max Crosby, those are the guys, the edge rushers who have been have had the most sacks over the last 5 years. Only one of them had double-digit sacks in his rookie year, Max Crosby, and it was 10. He just cracked double-digit sacks. And then the next year, almost every one of those guys, almost everyone except for Max Crosby and Hassan Reddick, and Trey Hendrickson, because Hendrickson and Reddick didn't take off until like the fourth year in the league. But amongst those guys, like Max Crosby actually took a step backwards. Everybody else got double-digit sacks in their second year, and it was because I think it just points to how technical a position it is. That is just so much more than just your athleticism. And a lot of those guys, including, you know, T.J. Watt, it's not like he lacked for tutelage or coaching or anything. It's just that you don't quite get it until you go through an entire rookie year and figure out exactly how to set up an offensive tackle, making your pass rush moves just reflexive and something that happened out of instinct almost. And Will is doing all the right things to get to that spot. So, like, right now, his trajectory is right on pace with all of those other guys. It's just a matter. Now, there's a lot of guys that get single-digit sacks a rookie year and then never get double-digit sacks. But I think that Will understands, and with Danielle Hunter especially, one of those guys that got single-digit his first year and double-digit his second year. Like, he's got a perfect mentor in all of that.
So, let me ask you real quick about Will. Do you think that drought in production, and I kind of use that term carefully, because he wasn't getting the sacks, but he was still getting a lot of pressure for it was like a 6 or 7 week stretch there. You probably remember this during the season. That stretch there was like, where's Will Anderson at? But he was still being real impactful on the game.
He was leading the league and the pressures per pass rush and all that stuff, but he just wasn't getting the sack production.
But then it seemed like toward the end of the year, he was starting to get home a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like what did you see from Will? Like, did he make an in-season jump at any point, or was it just a matter of things needing to come together? Like, what was it for Will, the distance between that drought and then the end of the year?
There were two big things, and I would say two. In the first half of the season, he had a couple of near misses on sacks where I would say he did everything right up until the two steps before the quarterback. And that, like, somebody who's hyper excitable, like Will especially, you can succumb to sack fever where you just get so excited about getting the sack and the quarterback's right there in your sights that all of a sudden when it becomes an open field tackling situation, you kind of stiffen up and you're susceptible to getting duped or deked. And so part of it was that, but then a lot of it was, there were two things. One was early in the season, he just didn't really anticipate chip blocks all that well. Like, he didn't realize when the tight end was going to be chipping him or when the running back was going to be chipping him. And the really good pass rushers, A, anticipate that, and then B, sometimes make it work to their advantage. You know, like when a running back's trying to chip you, if you respond to it properly, it actually puts the offensive tackle at a disadvantage because he leaves a spot open where if you can miss that chip block, then all of a sudden you got an open avenue to the quarterback. In two of his sacks at the end of the year, Will exploited that. Like, he dipped his shoulder, avoided the chip block, and then went to where the offensive lineman was expecting help and it wasn't. And then the other side of it, too, was just having an understanding for that you have to hit your move. It's not enough to get close to the quarterback. You got to hit a move to get around your blocker into the quarterback. Early in the season, he was getting a lot of pressures on paper, but it was because he was just kind of, he would just stop working a pass rush or an edge and just try to bull rush the offensive tackle into the quarterback. And for good offensive tackles, they don't really care because they know if they got a good quarterback, they're protecting. Fine, bull rush me to 2 yards away from the quarterback. That might get counted as a pressure on the stat sheet, But a good quarterback doesn't care about that. You know, he's like, he feels like, I got Laremy Tunsil right there. I see, on my peripheral, I see Laremy Tunsil's back and he's not moving or whatever. I'm fine. And so there are a lot of pressures like that where he could have gotten a sack or could have gotten a hand on the ball. And he just had to recognize that. And he did. He did midway through the season. You started to see him start to make that, just that final cherry on top of a pass rush to...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Finish a quarterback.
Yeah, man, I'm so excited about Will Anderson. Like, obviously, the on-field parts, but similar to the way we were talking about C.J. Stroud earlier, Will Anderson's got, like, this intangible quality about him that makes you feel like, man, that dude is just going to figure it out. Whatever his shortcomings are, he feels like the type that's wired in such a way that he's going to figure it out. Or like, damn near kill himself trying if he doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's listen to Matt Burke talk about it as well as what Will has said. I think with Will, a lot of times, is he will go 1,000 miles per hour in whichever direction you point him. So you got to be sure that you're just focusing on the two or three big things that really, really matter. So when it comes to pass rush, some of the things you can do to flip your hips, some of the things you can do to separate. When he talks about separating at the top of his pass rush, it's just not locking horns with an offensive tackle. Like they've very much simplified it to where he can attack a few little things that can have an outsized impact. And I think, yeah, that's what he, like, Will's the kind of guy that I'm sure you could tell, if you tell him to go shoot 1,000 free throws, he's going to go shoot 1,000 free throws. So if you tell him to do a drill to teach him how to point his toes towards the quarterback at the top of a pass rush, he's going to do that 1,000 times in the offseason.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back-to-school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils.
And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Kenyon Green versus Kendrick Green. This is, to me, a somewhat underrated camp battle because I don't think a lot of people are, first of all, a lot of people just don't think about left guard. It's not a sexy position, even though the Texans have been kind of in peril at that spot for the last couple of years. The interior offensive line has had its issues. But Kenyon Green versus Kendrick Green. Maybe there's an assumption that Kenyon Green wins the job because he's a first round pick, or because, for me, it's more so because he had the year off, and I've been consistent with this, Seth. I think the year off, as opposed to holding it against him that he missed last year, like, I know that's part of the analysis, like, well, he wasn't good as a rookie and he couldn't even get on the field last year, so he must be a bust. I've held a different perspective on that. My take on it is that, hey man, maybe he needed that year off to get his body right, to get his mind right, get everything right, and just come back fresh. And I think it can help him tremendously. So for me, I think I've kind of assumed that the benefit of that is going to allow him to win that job. But my take is the Kenyon Green versus Kendrick Green camp battle is a lot more intense and a lot closer than maybe people think it's going to be. And Kenyon Green just narrowly beats out Kendrick Green for that spot. But this is a take somewhat taken from John Harris on Texans All Access talking about Kendrick Green and how yeah, he's wired and how he actually wants that job as well. That's somebody that's been out of sight, out of mind for a while because of how his season ended as well. We haven't really thought about either one of those guys because they haven't been on the field in a long time. But I think Kendrick Green is going to push Kenyon Green, and Kenyon Green is going to narrowly win that competition.
Well, I think the big thing about Kendrick Green is that he's kind of been in the same boat as Kenyon Green, where Kendrick Green wasn't a first-round pick, but he was drafted to be the starting center for the Steelers, and he was a huge disappointment in Pittsburgh. And I honestly did not have high hopes for him at all when the Texans signed him to play guard, because it was just... it was at a point in the season where the Texans were just so desperate to have a body at left guard. And Kendrick Green came in and played a lot better than I thought he would. So, like, he may have learned a lot of lessons from his first rough couple of years in the NFL. You got to add Jarrett Patterson to the mix, too, because I think he's competing for both guard and center right now. And, Juice Scruggs, even though they're going to run him out and try to get as many reps as possible with CJ because it's so important for the center and the quarterback to have a good relationship, I think he's got to prove that he's better than Jarrett Patterson there as well. So I think that the competition, the biggest thing I worry about with Kenyon Green is that I can make excuses for him because he was so banged up and injured to the point where I think it really affected his ability to play with good technique or really learn or anything like that. I guess my huge question is, all right, but why did this rookie have so many injuries over the course of 1.5 years? You know, like, all right, that's fine that without playing football, he got healthy and got all yoked up and everything. That's great. But the biggest element here is that at some point he's going to have to play football.
Yeah.
And can he actually stay healthy? If he makes it, like if he makes it through a training camp healthy, that'll be a triumph in a lot of ways. But I'm not necessarily going to trust it until I see him go through a whole season.
Well, Seth, so my issue with all of that has been maybe just a slightly different from what you said. It's that he was never healthy to begin with.
Right. Right from the day he showed up.
Yes. It feels like they drafted an injured player, which happens. But I don't know. Like, I mean, that was your second first round pick that year. And it's a position in the trenches. So he's playing interior offensive line, was never healthy. I would ask a similar question of why did they feel comfortable drafting a guy that was just basically never healthy and has not been healthy since, basically up until now, this very moment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like that. Like
I don't know. And I think they are. I don't think that they're like slotting him in there or expecting like, okay, yep, now this is the way. I think it was almost like a Jose Abreu situation when they put him on IR last year. I think they may as well have sent him down to West Palm Beach to go play football in the rookie league or something.
That's a good comparison.
They're like, okay, well, listen, this guy's injured all the time. He's not making any progress. He's regressing in a lot of ways. We just got to figure out what we have in him. So let's send him down to West Palm Beach, and then we'll see. Basically, training camp, the training camp practices are going to be kind of like if you had actually sent Jose Abreu to Sugar Land for an actual rehab assignment or whatever, and then we'll see. But I think they're very much in a wait and see mode and not banking on Kenyon Green being the guy.
With Kendrick Green, Johnny from Texans All Access, and this is what made me think about it. The reason why I even have this take to begin with, he talked about his interaction with Kendrick Green. Kendrick Green apparently feels himself to be a more natural guard. You mentioned him being drafted by the Steelers to be a center, and then of course it didn't work out. They desperately tried to move him to fullback, but again, that was just out of desperation and not really doing.
Yeah, that wasn't just like a gadget thing. They actually went into training camp saying like, "Nope, he's a fullback now." Like they had just completely given up on him as an offensive lineman.
Yeah, and apparently it's just they just didn't know what to do with him at that point.
Yeah,
but if you ask him, and this, you know, this is the player talking, so maybe it's irrational confidence. Maybe he's right. Who knows? But based off of what we saw last year from him in limited time at guard before he got hurt, and the way he talks, at least according to John Harris, he views himself very much as a guard. And so maybe, you know, and especially in analysis, and you understand this obviously better as a former player, but I think in the analysis sometimes we can forget that, yeah, it's two interior offensive line positions, but center and guard are not the same. Like, just because you're a center doesn't make you a guard, and just because you're a guard doesn't make you a center, you know. So, like, maybe he's just flat out straight up a guard. And I'm interested to see which one of those two is going to be better out of the Ken Greens. Is it going to be Young or Drick?
That's one of the reasons I was surprised that I thought he looked more natural and better at guard is because he's only 6'2". Like he much more has a center's physique, and I don't even know how to analyze this because I don't know if I've ever seen it since the 1980s. Maybe is that you would have two guards if Kendrick Green is starting. You'd have a left guard that's 6'2", and you'd have Shaq Mason, a right guard, who's 6'1", which I feel like if I'm putting together a basketball team or something, I start to get nervous about skill sets and all that. I are they going to be more susceptible to batted passes versus tall defensive? I don't know. It probably doesn't matter one bit at all. It's just unique because he doesn't have the body type of a guard, but that's like Shaq Mason is a guy that's been very, very productive and steady as a 6'1" right guard.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, Seth, because walking in the locker room, it is a strike, and it doesn't stand out for whatever reason looking at them in the huddle or watching them on the field, but in the locker room, like you watch Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard walk around the locker room, and Seth, you're a tall guy like them, but you're like, yo, who are those dudes? You know, like
dude. I'm so far past those days now. When I see big offensive tackles, I am kind of like, what the hell?
Yeah,
that guy, he's gonna.
But dude, they're
is this guy gonna plunder my village?
Yeah, that is exactly what it looks like. It looks like, man, you know what? I am at this man's mercy. Like,
yeah, yeah.
whatever he decides is the mood of the moment is what the is like. It's like that's what time we're on. That is we are doing whatever this guy says we're doing at this point. Because like if he decides to just kind of lose his bleep,
yeah,
we're screwed. Like you see Laramie Tunsil and Titus Howard walk around and you're like, man, those dudes look like superheroes. And then, you know, not a knock on Shaq Mason or Kendrick Green, but they very much look like, you know, regular guys who are with broad shoulders who are in shape. You know,
what's funny is Orlando Brown Sr., the father of the Orlando Brown who's currently in the NFL. His nickname was Big Zeus. And like he was just a monstrous human being, but he was also like he was a lot crazy. He wasn't just a little bit crazy. He was a lot crazy. He was like the opposite of whatever Jonathan Ogden is. You know, where Jonathan Ogden just strikes you as this like just cerebral, almost gentle giant who is a monster, but you would never worry that he was gonna, you know, just destroy a bridge with anger or something like that. Orlando Brown Sr. was like that. So I was at the game when he flipped out because the official had thrown a penalty flag and hit him in the eye. You might even be too young to remember this. It was kind of like a penalty flag hit him in the eye. It was when he was playing for the Browns. Okay. It ended up blinding him. He got a huge settlement from the NFL it.
I am familiar with this. I'm too young to remember, but I do know this story. Continue.
But I was on the field when that happened, and he went up to the official pointing to his eye, and this is like just the biggest human being that you've ever been around or seen in your life. And like I played, it's different when you're playing football against them. It was almost all like now all of a sudden I was like out on the streets or something. And this dude shoves the official. In my mind, the way I saw it, the official went like 35 feet in the air. Like he got lifted up into the air and just never came down. Like that's how hard he shoved him. And all I was thinking was like, what? How the hell are they going to tether this dude? Like this is like an elephant at the circus. Being I was more scared than I would want it, than I'm comfortable admitting. I was really just like, if this guy decides to kill everybody, we're all screwed. This is terrifying. So yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, man, totally. So I'm gonna get to this because it came up on the text line, and you kind of alluded to it in some of your earlier comments about Juice Scruggs and throwing Jarrett Patterson into the mix of competing for both guard and center. I'm glad you made that point because this is not in my takes, but somebody did ask it on the text line, and so I figured it'd be a good time to bring it up here at the end of this segment. Do you think it's fair that it feels like we've penciled Juice Scruggs in for center? Like, man, and I don't want to say we. I use that term loosely, collectively, because I'm not saying that you've done that, but it does feel like there's an assumption that Juice Scruggs is the center, and we're just going to move on, and the only competition is that left guard. Do you feel like that's a little bit presumptuous?
This guy on the text line is annoying me because we already addressed this very same guy last week when he texted the exact same thing.
Well, forgive me.
Did he say it in a very condescending manner? Can you read the text for me?
Oh yeah, that's right. See, I need to be better at judging tone of these texts. It says, can either of you tell me why everyone at 6'10 has simply wrapped the center position,
slapped the
bow on it,
all right,
and handed it to Juice Scruggs? Please.
He did the exact same text on like Tuesday, and I spent 5 minutes explaining and actually conceding that he had a good point. So listen, you son of a bitch. Like, what the hell? I actually conceded that you had a good point. I modified my take, and then I gave the modified take just a few minutes ago when I said that Patterson is also competing for the center spot too. So I don't know what the hell you want, man. I don't know what the hell you want. Jeez. Like, honestly, who the hell why the hell would you do that? What kind of psychotic bent do you have that you could somehow, it's not good enough for you that I already addressed your text and that I modified my own take? I said that you had a good point, and then you come back with that same arrogant, smarmy attitude. You son of a bitch.
On the one hand, I feel terrible for not being able to pull that inventory and to know that myself. I listened to the show.
No, it's not your fault.
No, but
you're the victim.
But no, it's okay. On the other hand, it produced a classic Seth rant, and I think that I think everybody won from that.
They're hard to come by these days. That morons like that dude are why I don't go on the text line anymore. I allow you and Sean to filter it for me.
I was going to say, I feel like everybody won except your blood pressure, which if nobody else is concerned about Seth, at least I am.
I've got my monitor right over here on the desk. I'll check during the break and see how much it spiked.
He is Seth Payne. I am Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast this morning. Coming up next on Payne and Pendergast, I've got an Astros trade target that I want to discuss with Seth. That's next. Don't miss it.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.